or Zeruah. And the related vest is the vest of the Avi Asaf. I don't know what the Avi Asaf was.
Who
was the Avi Asaf? Avi Asaf is the Rabbiah. So the Hagos, his chibur is sometimes referred to as the Avi Asaf. The Hagos Maimini in Paragdali in Sirindia, Oskaf. Sorry, Oath Test. Hagos Maimini Yisuri Bia Paradah with Oath Test. Writes as follows. The Asaf Kas of Yom O Laila Mime Nisan Vitishrei. V'chatsi Yom V'chatsi Laila V'tamas V'tevis. V'tema. That's the Hagos Maimini's editorial. So the Asaf writes, and we talk about Frisha Samach Leves. How do we calculate a Ves? How do we calculate an Ona? So during Nisan and Tishrei, when the day and night are roughly the same amount of time, so you have a 12-hour day and a 12-hour night, then an Ona is a day period or a night period. But in the winter or summer, when the actual day or night periods are not congruous, you have a longer day or a longer night, so then the calculation is Chasi Yom V'Chasi Laila of Thomas Vitevis, which is understood to mean the equivalent of a regular 12-hour period. So if a woman was Ramadan, let's say noon on a given day in the summer, or we're calculating the Ona Favest in the summer, so then you calculate that Ona as from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. If a woman sees Dan at let's say 5 p.m. in the winter, so even though the sun already set, but that would still be considered part of a daytime Ona, because we calculate the Ona based on the fall and spring clock, not based on the summer and winter clock. That is the position of the Avi Asaf. So we pretend that it's always a 6 to 6 day, even if it's not. So we calculate the vest, or the onus of vest, based on a 6 to 6 day, even when it is not a 6 to 6 day. And the Agos Maimini editorializes on this, the tema. Why should that be the case? So this is a machlokes, the tav and the shach, whether we should be concerned about calculating vestos based on the VSF. The Taz and Sifkas and Bays is Doka this position. Even though there's a Mashmos, the Bach points out. Even though the Bach points out a Mashmos like this position from the Gemara and Tanakh and Bays, because there the Gemara, in discussing Vestos, seems to acknowledge you may Nisan and you may Tishrei as being significant in calculating Vestos. The Gemara is a line, Habit Kufas Nisan and Tishrei, Habit Kufas Tamuz Vitebes, Tamachayim Vitebes. That sounds like the kind of calculation has precedent. Taz says, no, that's talking about Dan Besulim, that's a separate Cheshvin. But it has nothing to do with calculating an Onas HaVest in general. So the Taz is Doha Vidiyasaf as not being relevant La Halacha. And the Shach in Sifkat and Zayin is concerned about the Vest of the Asaf. Rabbi Karp points out, page Kufay Vav, that if you look in the Kisvei HaRaviyah that we have, this position does not appear anywhere in the Kisvei HaRaviyah. However, it appears somewhere close. It appears in the Ravah. So, despite the citation of this as being the position of the Raviyah, maybe not a bit, but we do have it in the writings of the Ravah. The Ravah in the very beginning of Hilchos Nida, Simin Shin Yurchet, I think. And if you look at the Ravan, says Rabbi Karp, it's clear in the Ravan that this calculation is relevant to the owner prior to the vest. Essentially to the Orzeru of Tashvim. Meaning what? He writes as follows, the Rabban. The Zarta B'Fnei Yisrael Mitzvah Sam, Atol B'Nei Yisrael She'ifrishu B'Nei Shatayin Samach L'Vestan, the Kama of a Rabba Ona. Right? So the din is, preacher Samach L'Vest in the Ona HaSamach L'Vest. The Kama Ona, Arab Yochanan O Yom O Laila. Ona means day or night, a day or night period. She'im Vest of Yom Yifrish Laila Shalchana. That if the vest is in the daytime, then he should be parish the previous night. That's the position that we attribute to the Lord's Rura. Then vest of a Laila Yifrosh Yom Shalchnei Laila. And if the vest is a night, then you should be parish the previous day period. Again, so that's the position that we attribute to the Lord's Rura. And how do you chashven that? This man, Kufas Nisan V'Tishrei Shayom V'Laila Shabin. That's all talking about on a 6-6 day. Aval, Kufas Tamas V'Teves, She'ein Yom V'Laila Shavin, Chatsi Yom V'Chatsi Laila L'Vnei Avest. But if it's a summer or winter day, so then when you calculate the Ona Samach L'Vest, then you calculate based on a half day, potentially, and not necessarily on a whole day. Meaning that if you see them in the daytime of a winter day, which might have still been, sorry, let's say you see Dan the daytime of a winter day, then when you cheshven the Ona Samach L'Vest, you cheshven is based on a summer Ona, fall or spring Ona, not based on a winter Ona. So anyway, your cheshven is always going to be based on even 12-hour periods. So what you see in the Rabban's presentation of this Chumrah is that it is essentially a takeoff on the Or Zeruah, not a totally independent calculation. It's not calculating the Ona Tevet itself, per se, but calculating the Ona Sum of Tevet. Generally speaking, even those that are machmir for the Or Zeruah vest are not as machmir for the Aviyah Saf vest. Rabbi Karp wonders why, because as he points out, you can't say that it's all nichlal in the Or Zeruah, meaning that if you're machmir for the Or Zeruah, then you automatically are marviyah the Aviyah Saf as well, because it could be a chum in another direction. Meaning, let's say, on a winter day, without the Aviyah Saf, then if Shkia is at 4:30, so you'll have to be machmir until 4:30 if that's the Yom HaVest. According to the Aviyah Saf, you have to be machmir until 6. So the Or Zeruah is a chumrah on the Ona before. The Aviyah Saf could be a chumrah both before, it could be a chumrah after. But bottom line, there's less traction to be concerned about the VSF than to be concerned about the Or Zeruah. Okay. The Ramah here in Sif Beis has a halacha that requires hezber. The Ramah writes, based on Agos Maimini, and Agos Maimini is the beginning of Perek Ches of Yisirei Bia. The Lashon Ramah is as follows. Gam ein lo lahachmir livdok. I'm sorry. Sif Beis. Isha shemeshaneis vesta lahakdin days of gimel yamin. So if a woman has a change in her vest and sees 2 or 3 days earlier, oh laakar, or she sees 2 or 3 days later. Kishemagiyah's man vesta, sarach lifrash mimena, days of gimel yamim kodem alachrav. So when this man of vest comes, she has to be poresh an additional 2 or 3 days before, or an additional 2 or 3 days after, depending on when she is mishana vesta. Okay. Okay, so what is the Ramah / Hagolas Maimoni talking about over here? What is his case? Now that you understand. What's the simplest reading of the words? That's how the Shach understood. It's not the Shach here, even though the Shach here tells you where to look. Right? The Shach here tells you, look in Siman Kuf Pei Tes, Sivkatim Lamates. That's the Shach here, Sivkatim Tes. So if you look in Siman Kuf Pei Tes, Sivkatim Lamates, that's exactly how the Shach understands this Ramah. They were talking about, that's what the Lashon of Nishanei Seth defends. Like, you have a Vest Kavua. So you've already established as a Vest Kavua that you always see. Let's say a Vest HaChodesh Kavua, you always see on day 20 of the month, and then some anomaly, the one month you see on day 18. So the next month you're going to have to be Choshesh as far as Krisha Samach Vest, so you haven't uprooted the Vest Kavua yet, so you still have to observe the Onas HaVest of Kaf HaChodesh. But in addition, you have to be Choshesh for the new Vest She'ena Kavua of the last month when you saw on day Yuches. Right? So that's how the Shach understood the Ramah. And then that's not really any major Chiddush. In fact, it prompts the question that Akronim asked, why do you need the Ramah to tell you that? That's the Feirish later on in Siman Kuf Pei Tes, Se'if Yudalit. If the Ramah is only telling you that halacha, that if you have a Vest Kavua, and then one month you're Mishan and you see on a different day 2 days earlier, so the next month you have to be Choshesh both for the Vest Kavua and for the most recent Onas Hariya. So that's the Din B'Feirish in Siman Kuf Pei Tes, was the Ramah in here. So asks the Chavos Az, Sivkat Ben Zalit. So the Shach understanding the Ramah amounts to the most limited Kiddush, in fact, not a Kiddush at all. And that prompts the question, if that's what the Ramah is saying, what is the Ramah adding to what we already know? So the Ba'al Shulchan suggests here, Ba'al Shulchan Siv Kazan Kaf, maybe the Kiddush of the Ramah is, you might have thought that if you have the Vest Kavua, so every month you see on day 20, and then one month you see on day 18, maybe you don't even have to be Choshesh for that day 18, the next month, because since it's within a limited window of the Vest Kavua, so that was just a extension of the Vest Kavua. It's essentially coming at the same time, and you wouldn't have to be Choshesh the next month. The next month, you'd only have to observe the Yom HaVest on day Kaf and not on day Yotes. Yoni.
She does that again 2 days later. Isn't that like the
What do you mean?
No, 2 days before or 2 days later.
Right. No, she didn't see on day Kaf, and she only sees on day Kaf base. She's Mishana, instead of normally the Re'ah is going to be on day Kaf, either the Re'ah is on day Yotas or the Re'ah is on day Kaf base. Okay? That's the question. If that's what all the Ramah is saying, that we know already. Right. So so what the Ba'al Shulchan suggests is, no, maybe the Chiddush is that you would have thought that didn't only if the haflaga between the Vest Kavua and the earlier later is more than 2 or 3 days. So maybe if the haflaga is only a couple days, so then that's essentially the same anticipated time that you would expect to see Dam, and you don't have to cheshbon a new vest for that. Mashallah, nope. But even there, you have to be Choshesh for day Yuches in addition to day Kaf. So that is how the Shach understands the Ramah, that's how the Gaon understands the Ramah, and that ends up being the most limited Chiddush, and not really a cause for any major chumra. However, the Noz Yehuda has a different understanding of this Rama. Noz Yehuda is in Yeridaya Madura Kama, Yeridaya Simen Mem Vav. Kama Yeridaya Simen Mem Vav. The Noz Yehuda writes as follows. Nearly Perusha. Shekachu kviyas vesta. This is the nature of the woman's vest. We're not talking about where you had a vest kavua and suddenly one month there's a change. This is the nature of her vest. Shebesof elu hashnayim o hashlosha yamim kira. That she always sees dam within a window of 2 or 3 days, but that is the extent of the predictability. It was never the case that she saw dam consistently on any one day that created a vest kavua, but she consistently sees within a window of 3 days. It could be on the first of the 3 days, it could be on the second of the 3 days, it could be on the third of the 3 days. There's no kviyas for which of those 3 days she sees on, but she consistently always sees within a 3 day window. So then there must saying that in that situation you have to view that whole 3 day continuum as an extended onas havest, and you'd have to be poresh for the entirety of those 3 days. With bedikos as appropriate. And according to that, says the Noz Yehuda, you don't have to come out to the Shach Socha. The Shach, he understands the Socha to explain the Ramban away, and that the Ramban is essentially not telling you anything you don't know anyway. So the Noz Yehuda say, no, the Ramban is telling you a big chiddush that you wouldn't have known anyway, that you can create a vest that is a range of a few days where you always see within that range, even if there's no predictability as to what day within that range you're going to see, and then there'd be a requirement of prisha for the entirety of that range. So says the Noz Yehuda. Avi.
Would Ishaq argue with the Noz Yehuda in that?
Presumably. If there's no evidence that we have such a law. According to the Ishaq, the Rav's not talking about that, so that then doesn't exist. No one ever says such a thing. And the Noz Yehuda wasn't born yet, so really no one said such a thing. Although someone did say such a thing, and that someone is the Shildi Agiborim. Rabbi Forst quotes this on page 409, volume 1. Shildi Agiborim in the beginning of Shavuos. Shildi Agiborim, Shavuos, that Beis HaMidrash Adat Peirif, writes something similar to what the Noz Yehuda says. You can take a look at the Lashon there. But he seems to have this kind of a idea, which may be similar to what we've discussed in the past, the vest shlili, the negative vest of the Trumas Hadeshen, which we may or may not have time to discuss again. But the Trumas Hadeshen's negative vest, that any time a woman can establish that she will not see within, let's say, the first 20 days, she'll have a haflaga of somewhere between 21 and 28 days, but she'll never have a haflaga less than 20 days. So that creates a negative vest. So this is something analogous, not the same, that you have potentially a vest that is extended over a larger period of time than just one ona. So how do we assume la halacha? Do we assume like the Shach's non-innovative understanding of the Rama, or the Noz Yehuda's innovative understanding of the Rama? So the Aruch HaShulchan in Oz Kafei assumes like the Noz Yehuda that you actually have to be machmir in this kind of a case if you have a extended period in which she definitely sees within those few days. Now you'd have to be choshish for those few days. The Chavasas writes that he can't conceive of how you could say such a thing, because that could go ad infinitum. Where do you draw the line? Let's say a woman always sees within a 10-day period. So then you're going to have to be mapping for those 10 days also. It's not really clear, according to the Noz Yehuda, where you draw the line. You know, the Ramah says, days of Gimel Yamim. So, okay, maybe that's Dafka. If that's Dafka, then what tells you where you draw the line? What's the significance of 3 days as opposed to 4 days, or 4 days as opposed to 10 days? That's what the Chavazaz is bothered by fundamentally. How do you, if you were to entertain such a position, then how would you know where to draw the line? Bava Yeshulchan writes that he thinks it's appropriate to be mafmir, but hameko yesh lo al ni lismok. Even if you're going to be meko, maybe you should be mafmir to require bidika kodem lach atashmish, as a crazy place he says in this context. The Shu, the Minchas Yitzchak, Chelek Hei Simen Kuf Lamed Hei. Minchas Yitzchak writes that fundamentally understands why it would be appropriate to be Machmir, but it's very difficult to pass in this way for people. It does seem that the consensus of Poskim is that even though there is what to be mafmir about, but it's difficult to paskin broadly l'chumra. Okay. And then fifth ballad here, we have the following halacha. In regila liras v'hanesa kama, so this is based on a raya of Bali Nevesh that if a woman normally has a ri'ya consistently around the time of Netzach Hama, but it's unclear or she's unable to ascertain or recall whether it happens before Netz or after Netz, so then she's only asura bayom. You only treat the daytime as the onus of Est and not the night before. What is that based on? So the Ravid explains, this is the beginning of Shar Aleph of Tikkun Vestos of the Bali Nefesh. The Ravid explains, as we mentioned earlier, that Vestos the Rabbanon, Seka the Rabbanon Lukula. So here you essentially have a Safek, unable to ascertain when the vest started. So Seket Rabbanu Lukula, you have the right to be able to treat the day ona as the ona of the vest and not be concerned about the night before. That's what the Rabbi writes in Bali Nefesh. That is where the Pesach and Mechaber comes from. Now, if you look in the Tav says something a little bit different. The Tav writes, Sifkat and Zayin, Dekeven de Beyom Akolpanu Tameyahi, we know that bottom line she is Tameyah come daytime. Talina Tzilas HaKilkula Gam Kein Beyom. They have the right to assume that the Re'iyah began in the daytime. Tolin HaKilkul VaMukulkal. So that's not exactly how the Rabbi presented it. The Rabbi presented it as Seved Rabbanu Lukula, and the Taz adds the factor of Tolin Ha Mekulkal or Kilkul Ba Mekulkal. I'm not sure where that comes from and how that jives with the Rabbi. The Shach, you're right, nevertheless, that it's appropriate to be Mathmir to Aser Bayom Ubalayla. Now, what's unclear in the Shach is whether the Shach position, the Chumra here, is predicated on the Orzerua, meaning because the Shach is Machmir, that you have to be Choshesh for the Vest Orzerua, so you have to be Porish the previous owner anyway. So, therefore, in this case, it's appropriate to be Porish in the previous owner. But if we weren't Machmir for the Orzerua, then you wouldn't be as concerned over here. Or does his consideration exist independently of being Choshesh for the Vest of the Orzerua? That, yeah.
The Rabbi is because of that being the Esther creature. Is that what he's talking about, or he's talking about Vestas?
He's talking about that stuff in general, and kosher came some of the best. It heals that best of the Rabbanan, and kosher came preaches some of the best of the Rabbanan. He writes. Okay, now, the Lashon of the Raivid here in Shulchan Aruch is the cutoff point that is of significance is Hanetzach Hama. Why should that be? Why is it Neis and not Olos? This actually is Lashon Mishnah. Mishnah on Mishnah on Samach Gimel on the days. Haisa Lamuda Leos Roa im Hanetzachama. Einasura el im Hanetzachama. So the Mishnah already notes Hanetz as being a time of significance as far as Cheshvening Onos. The Rambam as well. Perek Dalet Alachi of Gimel. So Tizrach HaShemesh in Lashon HaRamban is the beginning of the next Ona. So you find this already in the Mishnah and in Rishonim that the period of significance seems to be Zrif and not Alos, even though in general for daytime mitzvos we has been based on Alos. The Chavistash points this out. Chavistash here in Sifkat and Hay quoted in the Pesach Shuvah Sifkat and Yud. Chavistash Sifkat and Hay quoted in Pesach Shuvah Sifkat and Yud. And when it comes to Vestos, we Cheshbin and Ona based on Neis and Shkia as opposed to Alos and Seis. Why should that be so? So he thinks excuse me, that Chazal had a tradition that Vestos are dependent on the sun, or on the presence or the absence of the sun, whatever that does biologically, physiologically, that somehow the critical determinant in whether the re is going to take place now is whether the, or in this period is whether the sun is out or whether the sun is not out. Sidrei Tara wonders where the Chavistah got this from. Why should that be the case? And even the Aruch HaShulchan in Sifkat and Kazayin thinks that maybe the Rav is Lavdavka. Maybe when the Rishonim say on Eitz, it's just Sirach of the Mishnah Nakat. But the Mishnah uses Hanetz. Why does the Mishnah use Hanetz? It's Lavdavka. It really means Alos. But the Rav is says on Eitz, the Rishonim say on Eitz, because the Mishnah says on Eitz, really they mean Alos. Aruch HaShulchan thinks you should be makir in both directions. Makir in both directions means that if you have a re'iyah that starts between Alos and Eitz, then you have to be choshesh both for the previous ona and the, meaning the nighttime ona and the daytime ona, to treat both of those as the ona sabes. That's the Aruch HaShulchan's chumrah. Common practice is to assume like the Chavetz Chaim, even the Kula, that we determine onos based on hanes and not based on alos, and then the corollary is based on shkia and not based on taste. Now, Rabbi Karp raises the following, which is, if our cheshbon is based on the presence of the sun, so it's not necessarily doesn't necessarily need to be dependent on astronomical nates or shkia. If what's critical is the presence of the sun, so shkia is, let's say, when the sun begins to dip below the horizon, or when the sun dips below the horizon, but there'll still be light for some time after shkia. So maybe you should still be machmir for a few minutes after shkia. He says Rav Yashiv said that. He thinks maybe you should be machmir up to 15 minutes after shkia.
He said that.
At the car. That's interesting. But the bottom line, we generally assume that these matters of establishing an ona are based on nate and shkia. Okay. Let's see. We'll try to move on a bit in the next few minutes. And Sif Zion here, we have a dinim uberes. In higia vesta bimei ibura, if a woman experiences a vest during the time that she's pregnant, nisha hukar ubra. After it is hukar ubra, obi mei niksa, etc. Einu tzricha lifar samach uvesta. Afil besof vesta mitaras lo bedika. That's based on the Gemara Nafes Nafes, that if a woman is hooker ubra, if a woman is muberes, and it is hooker ubra, which I have to define, so she's considered a tzulaka samim, she's not a woman who expects to see dam, and therefore does not have to be concerned about vestos or prisha samuch luvest. What is hooker ubra? So we generally assume, based on the Gemara there, hooker ubra means a woman is 3 months pregnant. The Gemara there says that at that point, a woman, isha ve'evara kvedim alav, that her evarim become heavier. We usually assume that the expression of hukar ubra means that we would colloquially say she's showing, that you can see that that she's pregnant. The Meiri, in that test here, Yibir Masko Rasadam, he explains that the lashon of hooker means it's not that the pregnancy or the fetus is recognizable to the outside, rather shavlad makir chiyuso, that the uber itself is makir the source of its sustenance. So hooker uber means that the uber is makir umakbid ala rosha barbaraha, and therefore now that he or she it recognizes the source of its sustenance, it creates problems for the mother, it burdens the mother, the damem is dalkin, and that causes the dam to go away. So the burden imposed by the uber is what chases away the blood. The woman is no longer going to see blood, and she's considered a tzulaka samim. It's pretty clear that b'zman chazal, generally speaking, a woman, even after she became pregnant, would continue to see dam up until the point of hooker ubra, up until she was 3 months pregnant. Nowadays, that's generally speaking no longer the case. Generally speaking now, women, once they are pregnant, do not see dam under normal circumstances at all. So the only question is whether that is any halachic ramification. Would you say that a woman performs a pregnancy test on day 28 of her cycle, she determines that she is pregnant. So based on current science, she's not going to see Dam anymore. So does she have to be koshesh for the onabeinonis on day 30, day 31? The most folks can assume that we're still koshesh for onos up to 3 months, up to hukar ubra, even if it's nishtanu atzvayim. Because the fact that physiologically she's not going to see dam anymore isn't the be-all and end-all of the picture. And the reason that Gemara gives, hukar ubra, isha ve'vareha kvedim aleha, erosha ve'vareha kvedim aleha, so that still only happens at 3 months in. So even though Rav Moshe entertains Chelek Gimel Siman and Beis Os Aleph, Chelek Gimel Siman and Beis Os Aleph, Rav Moshe has a number of tshuvas, that's one of them. Even though Rav Moshe entertains the possibility that maybe it could be Mako, this is already discussed by Kivager and Chazon Sofer earlier, Achronim, even though Rav Moshe entertains the possibility that maybe there be grounds to be mako, not to be choshish for onos once a woman determines that she is pregnant, nevertheless, even Rav Moshe there ends off saying that you should be mafnir, and that is generally speaking the position of the consensus position among contemporary poskim. See, for example, Shevet Alevi Chela Gimel Simen Kuf Kuf. Shevet Alevi Simen Gimel Chela Gimel Simen Kuf Kuf. Rav Avadya assumes this way as well on Taras Abayas. Rav Avadya there quotes some who seem to have understood Rav Moshe Lakula even Lamaskana. And he quotes one place where the Shevet Alevi refers to a kuntris that came from America. She thinks it's a reference to something Rav Moshe wrote. But he points out that if you read all Rav Moshe's tshuvas together and you read the bottom line, even though Rav Moshe entertained the possibility to be mako, it sounds like Lamaisa, he was mafnir, that you still need to cheshvin vestos until it's actually hukar ubra, until a woman is, let's say, 3 months into her pregnancy, after which point, then you don't have to be choshesh for vestos anymore, although in most situations, that's not, unless a woman is going to see dam, meaning this has two angles. Number one, do you have to be choshesh for a pre-existing vest? And also, if you do see dam during Yimei Ibura, does that create a new vest? So once it's hukar ubra, the answer to both of those is no. You don't have to be choshesh for a previous vest, even though, privately speaking, if her machmer up to 3 months, so there isn't much in the way of previous vestos to be concerned about for the duration of the pregnancy. If there is dam in an unusual situation, that will also not create a new vest. As far as the din of menika bim and selekas damim as well, so also nishtanu atzvayim. Nowadays, the fact that a woman is menika doesn't mean that she's a mislekas damim. Definitely, if she stops nursing, she's not going to be a mislekas damim up to kaftala kadoshim. So there, lemaisa that we're machmir on that if she sees dam, they don't have a right to ignore vestos. Okay, we'll stop here. Next time, we'll talk for a couple minutes, perhaps, about whether